I was that reason. You were that reason why Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. I want to thank all of our young people today for putting the effort into everything, working at it, being ready, just being faithful. I appreciate it so much. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 11, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. John 11, we'll read verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This morning I want to preach on those last three words. Believest thou this? As Christ asks the question, Martha, do you believe? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time. Our hearts have been stirred wonderfully this morning. Lord, as we've thought about the message in songs, Lord, from the instrument that's playing to the choir singing, the youth choir, congregational, and the quartet, everything, Lord, has been about Thee, and we're thankful for that. Lord, now we come to the time of the preaching of the Word of God. There's a great need here, Lord. And we need for Thy power, for Thy strength, for Thy guidance. Lord, I pray this morning that You'll use me somehow, some way, in a way that the hearts will be touched and lives will be changed, souls will be saved. If there be one here today that does not know Thee as Savior, I pray that this would be that day. And Lord, that we would explain clearly how much You love the world, how that You gave Your life so that we could have life. Lord, I pray now You hide me behind the cross. May we hear from heaven today. We'll thank You and praise You, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus asked the question, believest thou this? The story is about a man named Lazarus. Mary and Martha sent word to the Lord Jesus that their brother and Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick. And Jesus loved this family. He loved them much, so very much. The Bible says in verse number 3 that he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved this family, but he does something strange. He does not immediately go to where they are. In 2 days, he stays in the same place. He doesn't remove himself from here. He doesn't start heading to where they are. For 2 days, the Bible teaches us, he stays in the same place. And he knew Lazarus would die. The Bible helps us to understand that and to see these things. And he knew that he could have healed him even from where he was, from those miles away. The Lord Jesus could have spoken the word and Lazarus would have been healed at the very moment that Christ spoke the word. But the Lord Jesus had a reason for not doing this and for allowing Lazarus to die. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Verse 14, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto them plainly. You know, he said, look, this is what I'm talking about. And he says, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad. Strange words. He says, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. The disciples that were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I'm glad Lazarus died for your sake, because I'm going to prove myself to you again. I'm glad that he died so that you can believe, so that you can understand who I am, what I am, and what my purpose is. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus will send us time to go. 2 days they've stayed here. He's known about Lazarus being sick, and no doubt these disciples are wondering and confused and saying, what's going on? You knew he was sick and now he's dead, and now you say, let's go? Lord, we know you can do things about this. You could have done something. Nevertheless, Jesus said, let us go unto him. And when Martha heard that it was coming, verse number 20, the Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. So when Martha knew that the Lord Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. And then we see a conversation between Martha and the Lord Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, I think that's a normal answer. I think it's an answer that we would give. But this was a time when Christ was on earth. And then I want you to notice what Jesus said, the very response. After she said, I know that my brother will live the last day, the time of that resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha was being asked by the Lord to trust him. She was already a follower of the Lord Jesus. She was already a believer, but now she needs to believe in all that he is. And I think sometimes that's what the Lord Jesus does in our lives. We know him as our Savior. We put our faith in him. If somebody were to say, if you were to die today, would heaven be your home? Many of us in this place today would say, absolutely. I know that I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've trusted him as our Savior. But we need to trust him for all that he is. We miss out on a lot of the blessings of life because we feel like, well, once I've trusted him as Savior, that's all I can trust him for. No, you can trust him with everything. Every need he shall supply. He feeds the sparrow. He can feed us. He cares for the lilies of the field. But he cares so much more for us. The earth and the beauty, all of its splendor, the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the trees, the wonder of the ocean, the might of the river, the glorious waterfalls and the beautiful landscapes we see. We see the glory of God in all of them. But the prize and the crown of his creation was me and you, was all mankind. And dear friends, I want you to know he cares so much for us. Martha here was being asked by the Lord Jesus to trust him. Today we have to trust in the Lord. First of all, if you have never by faith received Christ as your Savior, then you need to believe in him today, to put your faith in what he did on the cross of Calvary. But if you have trusted him, if you're saved, we must trust him by faith with the life that we have. Believest thou this? You believe it? I believe it. Jesus said to Martha, believest thou this? Martha, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live? Do you believe that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die? Believest thou this? And when he's saying that we need to believe these things, he's saying we need to first of all believe his person. Believe in his person, who he is. He looks at Martha and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. There's many today that believe that Jesus was just a good man. There are many today that will say that he was a prophet. Some will say that he was a wonderful teacher, and some will say he was a man of high morals. Some will say that he was a meaningful man for his time and for his day. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Son of God who came into this world to bring life. I must die so that you can live. I'm going to die so that you can be resurrected. In other words, He is the way to life after death. He's the way to heaven. He's the resurrection. He's the life. John chapter 5, verse number 21, the Bible says, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. There's so many people today that have heard Christ preach, heard of Him in song, and they've even read His Word, but they have never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His person, we see that He is the very Son of God who came to conquer death, to conquer hell, and to conquer the grave. Believest thou this? Martha knew Him as Savior. He said, Martha, do you believe these things? Do you believe I am the resurrection life? Do you believe in my person? Do you believe who I am? Look what verse 27 says. She saith unto Him, Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And there's many of us in this place today that will confess and profess and claim, I believe all these things about you. But He's so much more than just your Savior. He's so much more than just a fire escape from hell. He's so much more than just a one-time event in your life. I was saved August 26, 1985, but I want you to know from that day to this, He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has always been by my side. He's answered my prayers. He's brought me low and He's lifted me up. He's brought some great times and He's brought some difficult days. But He's always been with me. That's who He is. And we need to believe His person. And He's looking at Martha, this follower, this believer. And He says, believest thou this? You can't just have a head knowledge of who He is. You must by faith trust Him as your Savior. I can go knocking on doors and I can say, do you know who Jesus is? And many people say, yes, I know who He is. And they may even say, He is the Son of God. He was the babe born in a manger. You may know who He is, but do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you have a personal relationship with this Son of God? When He died on the cross, He died to save your soul from hell. He died to give you eternal life. And we need to believe in His person and to put our faith. Believest thou this? If you're going to go to heaven, there's only one way. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that He is who He says He is. You've got to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. You have to realize that He is the resurrection and the life. Yes, He died on the cross, but I want you to know, on the third day, He rose from the grave and He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And He said, whosoever believeth in Me. We see His person. We see His person today. And He asked Martha, He says, believest thou this? You're a follower, Martha. He knew. Sometimes the Lord Jesus just has to deal with us that way. I know I'm saved, but sometimes He's just got to convince me that I know I'm saved. You know? Sometimes He's just got to rattle my cage. Because the devil's on this side and he's saying, you're lost. You're going to go to hell. You're not good enough. But then the Lord Jesus takes me back to the night I was saved. And I remember that night. I did what the Bible said. I believe Jesus died, I believe He was buried, I believe He rose again, and I called upon the name of the Lord, just like the Bible said. That's what the Bible said I have to do to be saved. I put my faith in Him. We need to believe in His person. Number two, we need to believe in His power. His power. Notice what the Bible says in our text in verse number 25. He said, I am the resurrection and life. That's wonderful. But he goes on. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's power in those words, friend. When you put your faith in Christ as Savior, you pass from death unto life. You pass from darkness to light. You pass from being a sinner to being a saint. And you pass from hell to heaven. That's what happens. That's the power of believing in Christ. It's the power of a changed life. All are born sinners, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that, don't we? You know what? I have two kids. I've got a boy now that is 13 and a daughter that's 15. And I remember when they were babies, we didn't have to teach them to sin. It just came automatic. They've not gotten over it yet. You know, we never taught them to say no to their parents, but they learned to say no. No. You know, they weren't mean. It's probably because that's all they had heard. No, Faith. No, Joe. Don't do that, you know. No. I guess maybe we teach them to be sinners more than we think we teach them to be sinners. We think about this power, though. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to look with me. Keep your place here, but go over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's see what the Bible says about this. We're dead. We're born sinners. And the Bible helps us to understand some things. There's power. It's life-changing, life-giving power. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We understand that. Look at this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That was the power that used to have dominion over you. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we're born sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says by nature we're the children of wrath, even as others. You know what? We're all equal. We're all born sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. We're all in need of the power of God to work in our lives. The Bible says that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. Verse number 4. But God. And I've preached on that here, and every time I preach on this passage of Scripture, I get excited. I see what I was, and then I see what God's done. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. You're saved. We need to believe in His power. His power to change lives. His power to take some sin and hell-bound sinner and change their life. And make them a child of the King. To make them a member of the family of God. We need people as His children to believe that when we speak on His behalf, when we speak to others about who He is, about His person, that He has the power to change their life. If we'll ever get that as a part of our life, then, dear friends, it'll give us a boldness to speak to others about their need of Christ and salvation. His power is a life-changing power, there's no doubt. In chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians, look at this, verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. Paul's writing here, of course, to the church at Ephesus. And he says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of this mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. When we put our faith in him and he saves us, we experience his power in our lives. We experience that life-changing power. Darkness to light. Lost to saved. But Martha needs to understand something here. It's not that he has just the power to save us whole. He has the power to do great things in our lives after we're saved. He has the power to move the mountains, if you will. Martha, believest thou this? It's an amazing thing how we can trust him and he saves us, and then we seem to not be able to trust him for the necessities of life or just for his guidance. It's an amazing thing that we feel like that all he wants to do is just save us from dying and going to hell. But I want to tell you something. Yes, he did want to save us from dying and going to that terrible place, but he also wanted to help us to live for him now. We need to realize his power. He wanted Martha to understand that he is able. And he says in our text, believest thou this? Back in our text today in John chapter number 11, the Bible says in verse number 38, Jesus therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now she had said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. But she was having a real difficult time believing in his power. We're the same way. Before we cast a stone at Martha, we better look at our own selves. Because we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Many of us have put our faith in him as our Savior. But we'll come and we'll bring something. We'll say, I'm going to lay it on the altar and I'm going to give it to God. And we come to the altar and we give this to God. And then when we pick it up, we turn around and say, well, I better take this back with me. I don't think he'll really hear my prayer. I don't think he'll really do that. I don't. Believest thou this? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, the Bible says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I have the power to make a difference in people's lives. The Bible goes on and says in verse number 40, and Jesus said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. They may believe that thou hast sent me. He's doing all these things to help them to believe in him. To believe. And he says, I'm going to prove myself even in spite of their lack of faith. Lord, I know you always hear me, but these people need to hear me talking to you. And they need to understand their need to talk to you. And then the Bible says, then they took away the stone from the place. And then the Bible says in verse number 43, and when he had thus spoken, when he had said, I know you hear me, but I said that they may believe that thou sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. He that was dead came forth. Well, preacher, I have a hard time believing that. You're just missing out on some of the greatness of God. Look, I believe if God wanted to raise the dead today, He would. Could. By the way, the dead will raise one day. Those that are dead in Christ, while their soul, spirit's already in heaven, their bodies are going to be resurrected that last day when the Lord Jesus shall return. What a time that's going to be. So we understand. As he asked Martha, he said, believest thou this? Do you believe in his power? Do you believe in his person? And finally, believe his promise. The Bible says in verse number 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has given us a wonderful promise. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We understand that. But it goes on. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we were born sinners, and yes, the payment for our sin was death, but Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. He paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the promise that we get. Not only do we miss death, but we get eternal life. The Bible says, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. And then the Bible helps us to understand that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are eternally saved. You mean, preacher, if I get saved, that I'm never going to die? This is death right here. It's the same thing where it says the wages of sin is death. It's talking about an eternal separation from God. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you live and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be separated from God. The moment you were saved, God has been with you from that day forward. He'll never leave thee. He will never forsake thee. And who's this promise to? Well, the Bible says it's to whosoever. I like that. The Bible tells us what this promise is. Never die. So it's eternal life. And just how great is it? Well, not only do you get, you never die. Think about it. That's a great promise. Never die. This is talking about being separated from God. I'll never be separated from God. Never. Because I'm one of His children. And it's extended to all, every race, every nation, every tongue, rich and poor, young or old, tall or short. This promise is for you. It's for everyone. I have a question to ask you. Believest thou this? Can you believe this? The choice is up to you, friends. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you have to choose to believe or not to believe. As a matter of fact, right now, you're going to make a choice. You're going to decide. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, right now, you are either going to receive Him or you're going to reject Him, because He's offering Himself to you to put your faith in Him. If you've already trusted Christ, you must choose to believe Him or not with the needs and the directions for your life. If you can trust His person, then I want you to know you can trust His power and you can live according to His promise. Believest thou this? I hope you believe it. I hope that you believe these things. Martha, Mary, we're dealing with some difficult things. And the Lord Jesus allowed them to deal with these difficulties. Why? Because He was going to prove Himself to them in the midst of this trying time. Sometimes we look at life and we think, boy, I just don't know why I'm going through this. But if you will let Him, God will prove Himself to you through the difficult days of life. Believe this? Believest thou this? Try him and let him prove himself. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the time you've given to us to open thy word. I pray, Lord, that it's touched our lives and it's helped us to see what you would have us to see, to understand what you'd have us to understand. Lord, may we be faithful. And Lord, may, if there be one here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, may this be the day that they put their faith and trust in the resurrection and the life. For those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to go beyond just being saved and help us to believe in that power and to live according to that promise as your children. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do. In Christ's name we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'll ask you a couple of simple questions.